So, Robert, you were mentioning something about noticing feelings and sensory perception and what you are noticing about yourself. If you do those experiments and you notice some things, what then do you do with that?
What do you do with it? We talked a little about this in the very first interview about feelings not always being reliable.
Right. And we're just going to clarify
But
because we're talking about feelings now. We're talking about feelings as in feeling like I'm leaning back right now, as in kinesthetic feelings, sensory feelings of what you're doing with your body. Oh, I feel like my head's tipped to one side, or oh, you know, I feel like my knee is stiff, or something like that. Not feelings like, oh, I'm so happy we're having this conversation.
So the first thing is that if you have a feeling like you're tilting your head to one direction or the other, or that kind of thing, it would be good to just suspend judgment about whether that feeling was accurate or not until you have a chance to check it out. That kind of a feeling can often be very quickly checked out by just looking in a mirror. Some of the kind of things that people say about themselves. If someone tells me they're now leaning over backwards, they're about to fall over backwards, but I point out to them they're not falling over backwards. And when they look at side view of themselves, they can see that they're still even a little forward, or vice versa. That's easy enough to see. But the other thing about feelings is if you do some of these experiments that we've been talking about, it's very likely you'll get some very nice feelings. You might, if you perform one of those saying no to neck tension when you're getting out of a chair or walking or singing or talking on the phone, you may notice that your walking's a little lighter, your feet are less heavy on the ground. If you're walking on a wooden floor, you can hear the difference. So you may get some very nice positive feedback. And as Bill Conable once said in a class I took with him, Bill Conable is the author of, with his wife, of the body mapping book, How to Learn the Alexander Technique, a manual for students. That point, when you notice something really nice, that's a very, very dangerous moment in a funny way, because you notice something light and easy, and most people's first reaction is, I want more of that, and I want to hold on to that and keep it. And that just does not work, because what you're trying to keep is the result of a movement or a change within you that's already occurred. And it's you can't really hang you can't keep that by directly trying to keep it. If you want to continue the good things that brought that feeling about, you can do that. And if the good things were talking to your neck gently and asking it not to tense, you can just carry on with that. And you might, out of the corner of your mind, notice that, yeah, things are a little lighter and that's great. But it's not a good idea to get too interested in those, even those wonderful positive effects during the experiment itself. And most of these experiments we're talking about are 10 seconds, 25 seconds, a minute. So I think it's very useful to learn how to suspend interest in the results for a brief period of time and focus more on whatever that process you're using is, that mental process that brought the good results about. And then afterwards, you can look back on it and see, oh, that thinking about not tightening my neck really helped my walking, and then later on it really helped my singing, and it helped this and it helped that. Maybe that would be a useful thing to think about just from time to time without any interest in the immediate results. That would be kind of a nice place to be, don't you think?
And that idea of just not hanging on to the feeling sense, and it is, it's true, it's so tricky because you're really, the feeling sense is tremendous. That's like, I'm sure one of the big reasons that people study the Alexander technique is you get lighter and lighter and easier, and this sense of when I say lighter, I mean you don't feel your own weight. You just you start feeling like movement is so pleasurable. Like just doing the dishes is pleasurable, you know, just because you're actually moving your arms and hands and body.
It's even more pleasurable
in the normal way
if you could watch somebody else do the dishes. They could
That's
free their necks and you could free your neck.
Sorry, I forgot who I was talking to.
Right.
Okay.
Doing the dishes was never, ever a strong point of mine.
Well, thinking of it for the movement's sake is really quite nice, actually.
I'm sure.
Really, our sensory system gets more educated and we start noticing, oh, today I was doing this and I didn't feel light. And we think, oh, what can I do about that? And again, instead of trying to look for a light feeling, because you can't just get the light feeling, because the way you, what you did before was you gave yourself some directions or you observed something, you did some thinking that resulted in that,
right.
Some awareness, some thinking that resulted in that. And so to just look for the light feeling, that's like looking up something on the internet without turning the computer on.
Right. You're looking, you're trying
really
to get a result.
You're
trying to hang on to or get a result. I mean, I can't tell you how many students have said, well, they have a really great lesson. They go home, they come back next time and say, I just can't get that feeling that I had during the lesson. And this is after having given them the standard talk about how that's not where it's at. But people, it takes a while for people to get used to that idea that we're not asking you to not be interested and enjoy the benefits of the technique, but as an experiment, as a way of training yourself, if you could just suspend interest in it a bit, that would be great. Because it takes away from the, if you're so interested in that new lightness and thinking about how great that's going to be to always be able to walk that way, then you're probably not thinking about not tightening your neck.
The awareness and
you know, as always, this is something we have not touched upon yet, but as always in the Alexander technique and in actually probably every field of inquiry, there is an answer to be found in the field of country music.
No.
Just very briefly, we can just briefly point out in the song The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, he has a wonderful line. You know, he says, you need to know when to hold them, you need to know when to fold them. And then the final line is, there's time enough for counting when the game is done. In other words, if you want to be a good poker player, you are not counting the win. You're not anticipating your winnings at that point.
You can relate everything back to country music.
Well, everything does relate back to country music. And honestly, but the basic idea is just if you can learn to be light about it, if you can be, and not just light in terms of intensity, but also light in terms of expectations of your ability to actually continue with the thought for as long as 15 or 20 seconds. It's a very good
That's a really great topic.
You're going to lose it. You're going to forget about it. You're going to say to yourself, you know, I'm planning on taking a little walk down the block and I'm going to make this project not tightening my neck, not tensing my neck. And you get two steps out of the house and there's this cute dog, right? And all your energy goes to that or something else. Or
I think people have a hard time even continuing that focus or that light intention to put their attention on not tightening their neck. I think that's a great experiment for people to do.
But to be
see
very
how long you can continue with your attention.
I wouldn't even say to continue, see how long. I would pick a period, maybe half a minute or a minute, and not see how long you can continue it so much as, unless what you're talking about is continuing it, meaning that you know you're going to have forgotten it and you just gently bring it back again. That kind of.
Well, I'm talking about actually attending to it in your mind.
You want to stay with it for 30 seconds.
Stay with it. See how many seconds you can stay with it. And my guess is it's going to be like 3 seconds or something. It's amazing how short an attention that we do when we give those kinds of signals or directions or easy thoughts. And it's just fascinating that if you even stick with it for 5 seconds, you get tremendous results.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But people don't stick with it hardly even for that long. You know,
but that's
yes,
why
in practical
I like,
reality,
yeah.
In practical reality, yes, you just gently notice your attention, you're thinking of it, and then you feel your attention's going somewhere else, fine, and you just think, okay, lightly, I'll think about it again. In practical reality, that's how it is, but a very good exercise, a very good practice, is to see, can you keep your attention on that thought, not on any position or any feeling, but on giving that thought for just that signal, that thought that you're not going to tighten your neck. See if you can keep your attention on that for 5 seconds.
You're saying kind of lengthen the periods of time when you're actually thinking the thought terms of a few seconds. I guess my approach has been more, I'm not so concerned about the length of time, although I can see that would be a very, very useful thing, and I may even experiment with that. I tend to take slightly longer periods, perhaps a half a minute or a minute, or just getting up from a chair, walking around, sitting down, or singing a few lines of a song or whatever.
And perhaps a country song, but we won't mention that now.
It wouldn't be, none of the people who come to me sing country music, I'll tell you. I really wish I could have a famous country singer as a student, but that's a dream.
Well, perhaps you will now.
Or a nightmare, depending on how you look at it. But I do think it's useful to have somewhat longer periods and just not be concerned about whether you've kept the thought going for 3 seconds or 5 seconds. I think it's that. And also, as part of that, it's to be very, very forgiving of yourself when you notice that you have strayed from the project. And the analogy I use sometimes is, supposing you're planning to go to the post office, and you have to walk, you have to go turn right here and turn left there, and you basically know the way, but you get maybe halfway there, and you suddenly realize that, in fact, you were walking the way you would, you'd made a wrong turn, and were walking towards the coffee shop, which is another place you go to a lot. So what do you do at that point? Do you bewail the fact that you lost track of your project? Or
yeah, listen, Robert, this isn't leading up to another country song, is it?
No. It could. No, what you say is, oh, I really meant to go to the post office. Or you might even say, you know what, maybe the coffee shop is a better place to go right now. And it's no big deal. So I think we should, unless you have something pressing to say on this, we should end this conversation just for length purposes. What do you think?
I think that's fine. And just my last comment is, yes, I'm absolutely spend just, you know, longer times with the intention of coming back to the thought of saying no to tightening your neck, and be absolutely just humored by what you do. Really, you know, just find it fun, silly. You don't need to put any pressure on yourself to do it. And the reason I say see if you can stick with the thought for 5 seconds is that that's really hard for everyone to do. And you end up having a lot more compassion with yourself about it. You think, well, yeah, you can keep coming back to the thought, but people don't stick with it continuously for that long. And so it's nothing to be hard on yourself about. It's just, in fact, a way to just think, wow, look at that. You know, that's amazing. That's very common.
And, yeah, the lighter you can be with yourself,
the better off you are. And just to be humored by what you notice and what you see. And we can talk in another conversation about observing people in their movement, not being judgmental, but just observing general habits of movement, because then you see, look, almost everyone has these habits. And you don't get hard on yourself about it. You just think, what could I do if I experiment? And maybe every once in a while I can make a little bit of a change, a little bit of an improvement.
So let's follow up on this conversation with the next conversation. What do you think?
Okay, that sounds great.